the enemy is ramping up his attacks on believers because he knows his time is short. My guest discovered the most supernatural prayer in the Bible. It's so powerful, it will put up an impenetrable wall of glory around you. It's your ultimate defense. Next. Welcome, Holy Spirit. I surrender this platform to you. Take over. Chad Gonzalez was a strong believer, even operated in miracles for many years, but was dissatisfied with his walk as a believer. Then God revealed to him the most supernatural prayer in the Bible. Chad, why were you dissatisfied? And what is that most supernatural prayer in the Bible?
Well, I was dissatisfied because even though we were seeing miracles, I'm still looking at Jesus as the standard for what's available as a man or woman filled and united with God. And so I was seeing things, I was seeing results, but it wasn't matching up. And so I began to ask, all right, Holy Spirit, where am I missing it? And so in my studies, it led me to John 17. And in John 17, I find this supernatural prophetic prayer that Jesus prays. And if we look at the fact he's the standard and what he prayed out in this prayer, that it was through his death, burial, and resurrection made those things a reality for our lives if we would grab a hold of it.
And you studied that for quite a while.
Yeah, almost 20 years.
Why did you study it so long?
Because the more I looked at it, the more I kept seeing what's possible.
What does it give us access to?
Well, Jesus talks about the fact that we should have healing, that healing should be normal for us. We see that, you know, we should have the joy of the Lord. We see that we can walk in a greater degree of glory, which, you know, sometimes I'm hesitant in even saying it because the looks that you get at people. But, I mean, he's praying that you and I would be able to walk in the same glory that he walks in right now. It's in that prayer.
Do you know that if you said that, it didn't say Jesus said it, there's no way they'd believe that you're going to walk in the same glory as Jesus. But he said it. You have issue with it? Take it up with Jesus.
Yeah, it's right there. We could literally walk in that same degree of glory. He talks about that there, and that we could actually walk in the same protection.
You even say in your new book that we can walk in the same joy as Jesus. How would you like to live your life walking in the joy of the Son of God when he walked this earth? Can you picture that? That's all available to us, and it's all in that one prayer. You teach that this high priestly prayer surrounds us with an impenetrable wall of glory.
Yeah, you know, Jesus makes a statement in John 10. And again, I'm always looking at Jesus, the things that he says, things that he does. He's doing this as a man, filled, united with God. He's not saying these things as God. He's saying this as a man united with God. John 10, he makes this statement. He said, no one can take my life from me except I lay it down. He's not saying this as God. He says this as a man united with God. He said, this command I've been given to me by my Father. And so in John 17, in this prayer, he's praying this before he goes to the cross. And he says this, he said, Father, I don't pray that you take them out of this world, but that you keep them from the evil one. Jesus is putting us in the very same position as him. And so, you know, when we look at protection under the old covenant, we have Psalm 91, he who dwells under the shadow, the shelter of the Almighty. But we've got it even better, because under the new covenant of grace, I'm not endeavoring to dwell under him. He came to dwell on the inside of me. That means nothing of this world, nothing of the curse, it can't touch me. And if Jesus as a man could stand there and say, nobody can take my life, I can stand here as a man in Christ and say, nothing in this world, nothing of the curse can take my life either.
You know, if the same glory that's on Jesus can be on us, I can't picture sickness coming through that barrier. I can't picture depression coming through that barrier. I can't picture hurt coming through that barrier. What a way to live.
Well, I mean, at some point, we got to believe greater is He who's in me, is in the world, you know, that Christ in me, the hope, the expectation of the glory of God. Like, at some point, we have to actually believe it and start to look at what's possible for us because of our union with Christ. He prays these things out in this prayer. It's available for us, but we have to expand our soul so we can expand and walk in this dominion and the safety, protection, peace, joy. All these things have been provided, but it still comes from that place of union. The more that I begin to see Him for who He is, the more I begin to see me for who I am in Him. And that's what puts me in a place of no condemnation. So it puts me in a place of no sickness, no disease. Puts me in a place where I can begin to, not just as I've received of Him, but now I do like Paul said in Colossians 2, verse 6, now I walk in Him. And as I walk in Him, I get to experience all that He experiences right now.
If we read the revelation and start acting on it, what do you believe could happen to us?
I believe we would begin to live like He lives now. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, Paul makes this statement. He says, you know, we've died and we've become alive with Him. He gives us this great kind of discourse on redemption. But then we find out that he says the same life that Jesus lives is the same life that you and I are to live. And people would have a problem with that because they're looking at this body to define who they are. But I am not a body, I'm a spirit. And the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 6, 17, I am one spirit with the Lord. 1 John 4, 17, as He is, so am I in this world. I don't identify with Jesus who walked on the earth. This is a bold statement, but it's true. I don't identify with Jesus who walked on the earth. I identify with Jesus in heaven. I'm not one with Jesus that walked on the earth. I'm one with the glorified Christ. That's who I'm one with. And so I have to look at Him to tell me what's available now. And that's why Jesus said in John 14, 12, whoever believes in me will not only do the same works, but even greater works. How am I to do greater? Because I am one with Him now, not the one who walked on the earth.
Now, you think that's something. Chad was taken to heaven. He saw massive crowds of people running and screaming. This experience catapulted his healing gifts. And I believe the presence on this man of God will catapult your healing gifts. Be right back.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural.
Hello, YouTube. Mishpocha. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. This is Sid Roth. Welcome to my world where it's naturally supernatural. If you've been blessed by this show, please subscribe. Then click the bell so you won't miss a single episode of It's Supernatural.
We now return to It's Supernatural.
Chad says his heaven experience catapulted his healing ministry. Tell me about this experience. What did you see?
So this was back in 2005. I'd been praying for an extended amount of time, just seeking God about some things. And one night, I laid down to go to sleep. I opened my eyes. Next thing I know, I'm in heaven. And it wasn't just a thing, I think I'm there, I feel like something. No, I'm there, just as real as you are with me right now. I see Jesus standing there. I see all the beautiful things. But the first thing I truly noticed was the way that I felt. And it was two things. There was a peace I'd never experienced before. I mean, just peace. But the other thing was, there was just a flow of power that like electricity, just a current, just flowing on the inside of me. Almost kind of like if you get a TENS unit, you know, that physical therapists or others use. It was literally like that was happening. Just woo. Every time I talk about it, I start just, I go back to that moment. You feel it. And I began to sense that. And at that point, there was a crowd of people that began to run by and say, it's time to go to the throne room. It's time to go to the throne room. And they begin to take off. Well, you know, I don't like to lose. I want to be up front. And so I take off running and getting in front of them. We ran up this large staircase, get up to the top of this staircase, open this door, and there's God sitting on his throne. This circular space. He's sitting on his throne. I can see everything of him except from the nose up. And it was this wonderful, wonderful experience, but it truly changed my life, revolutionized the way that I look. Because not only was God more real to me, not only was heaven more real to me, but it was this experience of this power that was flowing through me. It's the life of God that flows on the inside of not just me, but every single believer, that God, the life that flows in him. He put that life in Jesus, we see in, you know, John chapter 1. And Jesus came so we could have that same life too. That he didn't just come to take us somewhere. He came to get someone, him, on the inside of us. And that healing power that John G. Lake called it the lightnings of heaven, the lightnings of God. That it flows on the inside of me so that it's not only there to keep me walking in divine health, but also that me, as the everyday believer, so I could go and I could give that life away, and that what flows in me would flow into that other person. You see it in the ministry of Jesus. You see it in the ministry of Paul. The subject of the life of God, it's in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament. There are things that are available to us as Christians. We have so watered down what salvation is all about. And if we would just look at Jesus as the standard for what is available for us.
But wait a second. You went to heaven. You saw things that few people see. You were hit with the lightnings of God. When you teach on this, do you and others start moving the same way? Or do you have to go to heaven to get that?
No, we start experiencing it like we go in, we do these healing conferences and seminars and stuff. When I begin to teach on that, and I teach it from a twofold purpose. Number one, it's so you can walk in divine health and healing. But it's also so we can turn around and we can give it away. Because that's what it's about. It's the everyday believer, not the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. The everyday believer doing the works of Jesus and giving this away. And every time we teach on these things, miracles start happening.
Give me an example.
Okay, just this past summer, I was up at a church up in Michigan, and there was this couple sitting on the front row, and at the end of the service, they come up to me, and the husband says, "Now look, Chad, I want to let you know, I'm Episcopalian." And he said, "But I saw you when you were on Sid Roth last time." And he said, "I was really interested in some of the things that you talked about." And he said, "So we've been kind of following along." He said, "While you were teaching," he said, "my shoulder got healed." He said, "I had torn my rotator cuff about 20 years ago. He said, I've had no movement in it. When I want to move my shoulder, I lift my arm and put it back. He said, when I was sitting there, my leg started to itch. I reached down to scratch my leg, realized my arm was healed." At the same time, his wife, who had been diagnosed with cancer, 6 months prior, she'd been diagnosed with cancer. This is at the end of the service. She comes running from the lobby to me, tears coming down her eyes. She said, "Chad, I've got to tell you what happened. While I was standing up in the lobby," she said, "I got healed." I said, what are you talking about? She said, "I had a tumor the size of a softball in my neck." She said, "Look." I said, "What am I looking at?" She said, "It's not there." She said, "I'm touching my jaw for the first time in 6 months." That was on a Saturday night. On Sunday morning, she comes up to me and she said, "Oh yeah, by the way, this morning I woke up and the three tumors that were on my back are gone."
You're saying you have no doubt that you are not special, but that anyone can have that special person with knowledge of the word and operate the same as you.
Absolutely. People are always looking for excuses. You know, people are like water. You just kind of go down the path of least resistance. But I blame it on most of the ministers, because most of the ministers are looking for these excuses because they're not seeing anything. So instead of humbling yourself and say, "All right, Holy Spirit, where am I missing it?" We start looking for excuses, and that's where the labels come from, and we put, you know, these giftings and these graces on all these other people, and certainly not denying the ministry gifts, certainly not denying the gifts of the Spirit. But I don't view some of the gifts that operate in my life to put me in a position where I'm something special. I view it to put me in a position to show people what's possible so they can walk in it too. Because the moment I do that, I set myself apart, but that doesn't follow what Jesus said. He said, "Whoever believes."
You talk about the greater realm of dominion. Mm. What do you mean?
Well, Jesus says in John 17, restore unto me the glory that I had before. That means Jesus wasn't walking in all glory.
Hmm. Good point.
That means he wasn't walking on glory. And when he arose, when he sent the church out, he said, now all authority in heaven on earth has been given unto me. It was the first time he said all. That means he wasn't walking in everything that was available because he was doing life under the old covenant. He was doing life as the last Adam. We are a new creature, new creation in Christ. Again, not one with Jesus who walked on the earth, one with the glorified Christ with all authority, all power, and walking in all glory.
Tell me about the marijuana farm story.
So, you know, I was over in Kenya a year ago, and I was spending some time talking to these former and current witch doctors. I was so inspired by their understanding of the power of our words and meditation, and really, they inspired me than most of the Christians I've been around. And so, I come back to America, and there was a marijuana farm that had opened up about a mile from my house. It irritated me because, one, every time I went to my house, I had to smell it. And then also, it was hurting property values. So every day I'm driving by, I'd get really upset about it. One day I was going by, and something that this former witch doctor told me came back to my remembrance about the power of our words. And this guy, he was a pastor now. And so I stopped. I backed up a little bit. I rolled down my window. I looked at that marijuana farm. It was a very large farm. I pointed my finger out, and I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to dry up and die. And then I rolled up my window and drove on. Didn't seem spectacular, but I drove on. Well, I left and I had a ministry trip and I was gone for about a week. I come back the next week. I'm driving home and I noticed that the fence, they're taking it down along the road. Thought, well, that's interesting, you know. A few days later, I'm driving by. There's a for sale sign outside that marijuana farm. And I'm not going to lie. I was sitting right there and I looked. I said to myself, I said, it worked.
It worked. Chad was speaking in Kenya and saw the most amazing eruption of miracles, but the devil got pretty upset. A demon-possessed man tried to stop the meeting. We have the video. You're about to be an eyewitness of how God took over. Be right back.
We will be right back to It's Supernatural. Call to get Chad Gonzalez's brand new book, The Supernatural Prayer of Jesus, Prayer Secrets from the Son of God that Unleash the Miracle Realm. You can't get this book anywhere else. This is an early launch just for our It's Supernatural audience. Plus, you receive his exclusive three-part CD audio series, The Power of Union, Entering a New Realm of Dominion. As a bonus, you also get a personalized prayer card, The High Priestly Prayer from John 17. All yours for a donation of $35. Shipping and handling is included. Ask for offer number 9906.
In John 17, Jesus prays out the entire Christian experience. Don't let it just be a prayer that Jesus prayed for you. Let it be your life. Let it be your reality.
With Chad's groundbreaking book and 3-CD set, you will discover the most supernatural prayer in the Bible as Jesus prays for you. Find your true identity in union with the Messiah. Constantly walk under the same glory that Jesus had. Live in God's alternate reality and be empowered to stand in God's truth. Become filled with a holy joy that defeats the worst depression. And you can carry the personalized prayer card of John 17 wherever you go to meditate and pray to obtain an impenetrable wall of God's glory around you, your ultimate defense against darkness.
I look around at current Christianity and think, is this all that there is? And there's got to be more to being a Christian than just trying to live a good life. There is an identity crisis going all the place. People can't even figure out who they are, what they're supposed to do, what they're supposed to be. If you understand what Jesus prays here, it'll not only show you who you are, it will help you fulfill the plan of God that he has for your life.
Get Chad Gonzalez's brand new exclusive book, The Supernatural Prayer of Jesus, Prayer Secrets from the Son of God that Unleash the Miracle Realm. Plus also receive his exclusive three-part CD audio series, The Power of Union, Entering a New Realm of Dominion.
You also get a personalized prayer card, the High Priestly Prayer from John 17. All yours for a donation of $35. Shipping and handling is included. Ask for offer number 9906. Call or go online at sidroth.org to place your order for Chad Gonzalez's book, plus the 3-CD set and the John 17 prayer card. Or you can send your check of $35 to Sid Roth. It's Supernatural, P.O. Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina 28278. Please specify offer number 9906.
We now return to It's Supernatural.
Chad was so excited. It's miracle after miracle erupted in Kenya. The devil got nervous. So he sent a demon-possessed man to stop the meeting. Give me the backstory.
This woman, she told me she had had 11 spinal surgeries. The doctors were trying to fix it, but every surgery was just making it worse. And when she came to that place, she could barely walk. And she got so excited. I got so excited, I obviously took off running, turned around, she's running after me.
I didn't know you could dance like that.
I'm pretty conservative, but man, I get so excited about that. But then this man comes up. Obviously, you know, there we cast the devil out. So he tells his story at the end. He said, while I was sitting in the back and all the miracles were happening, these voices started telling me, go stop the preacher. And he said, so I ran up there to try to stop you. Of course, you know, the greater one's on the inside, this impenetrable wall of glory around us. I'm living according to another reality than what, you know, we took authority over it, done deal.
You're really making it simple. Isn't that simple?
Well, Jesus was simple. Jesus was simple. If the message is complicated, you didn't get it from Jesus.
I'll tell you what, there are so many people that have said a prayer of salvation and then lived just like the world. Do you know why? They never came to know Jesus. They believe in him, but that's just step one. Many are stuck at just believing in him. Go to step two. This is the whole purpose of living on earth. Step two is to have your own experience with him. I want you to say this prayer out loud and mean it to the best of your ability. Very important. Mean it to the best of your ability. Guess what? That part you can do. The supernatural, you're dependent on God. Repeat out loud. Dear God, I've made many mistakes, for which I'm so sorry. I believe you died for my mistakes, and by your blood, I was healed. My sins are forgiven. I'm clean. And now that I'm clean, Jesus, come and live inside of me. I make you my Savior and my Lord. Amen.
Guys, I want you to know who you are. It's not about facts. It's not about data. It's literally about knowing him. Jesus said this in this high priestly prayer in John 17. This is eternal life, that you would know him. I want you to know who you are, know whose you are, so that he can flow and live through you. My prayer for you is this: the Holy Spirit would open your eyes, give you wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding would be flooded and filled with light, that you would know his plan, you would know his inheritance, and you would know the exceeding greatness of his power that's on the inside of you, that you would begin to see him for who he is, so that you would see you for who you truly are.
You're a child of God. That's who you are.